Praise God. Praise God. We have one more new birth certificate to a Jackie Hill. Is Jackie Hill in the house? Come on down, Jackie. I'm sorry, God bless you. You can go ahead and continue standing. I sound really, really loud up here. I don't know how I am out there. But I'm going to get wound up here. I don't want to chase anybody out. So I'll keep talking, and you can keep adjusting there. This morning we preached a message, and the title of it was Praise Your Way Out. And tonight we're going to preach part two of this message, Praise Your Way Out. For the theme of the month of March, our theme is Praise and Worship. Praising your way out. So if you were here this morning, we started off reading Psalms 100. If they could put that up on the overhead, and if you could read that along with me, you have to understand one thing about praise and worship. Praise and worship, and our praise and worship to the Almighty God is a participating sport. It's something that in order for us to praise, in order for us to worship, we must participate. That means we have to, there's some action required on our part. You can't praise someone and you can't worship without having some action. So if during the middle of this sermon you feel like you need to get up and run a lap, you get up and run a lap. If you feel you need to get up and stomp your feet, you get up and stomp your feet. It's open, it's open, it's open. Whatever, yeah, run it on, Brother Dave. Come on. Psalms 100, it says, make a joyful noise, noise unto the Lord. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We need to enter into his gates. We need to come into this place. We need to enter into this church. We need to enter into this sanctuary with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. We need to be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord, he is good, and his mercy is everlasting. Everlasting means everlasting. It has no beginning. It has no end. It is forever and forever. His Lord, the Lord, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. All generations. No one is exempt. It's all generations. If you'd like to have a seat, you can be seated at this time. We're going to cover a little bit of what we spoke on this morning and go into this evening. And we're going to build upon this as the month goes on. But each month so far this year, I've stated we've had a theme for the month. January, we spoke on spiritual warfare. February was sowing and reaping. And this month of March, we're going to be speaking on the following topics and how they relate to one another, because they're all intertwined. You see, these topics are prayer. And if you pray, your prayer will burst out into praise. And when you praise God, you will break out into full-blown worship. And when you begin to worship God, you can't help but be thankful for what God has done in your life. I am so thankful for what God has done in my life. And this month, we've chosen the monthly theme to be titled, Praise Your Way Out. Praise Your Way Out. Recapping this morning, we spoke on how life was never meant to be an easy road. And I believe that we can all here tonight, we have a lot of different people that were not here this morning, but I believe tonight we can all testify to the fact that life sometimes is just downright difficult and stubborn and hard. I'm not speaking to anyone here that has had a bed of roses for their life. We understand that, yes, sometimes life is a piece of cake, and sometimes it's the dirty platter. That's just the way life goes. And when we go through life, it seems that we begin to have troubles and we have trials in our lives. We were born but yet a few days and we were full of sin. That's the way mankind is. We are created. And when as we are created, our sinful nature begins to take over. And because of sin, there's problems. It just happens that way because we're flesh. We're human beings. It seems like the older that I get, the more that I realize that in life there are simply no guarantees. Life is most uncertain and it's most unpredictable. We're constantly being beat down and we become worn out by the struggles and the trials and the sufferings that we go through. And we oftentimes we can lose hope and we can come blinded to the very truth that we so desperately seek to find. And so we give in to the lies that the enemy has and we bury ourselves in our own self-pity and our own remorse. But as I spoke this morning, Jesus gave us these words in John 10:10. He says, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I believe here tonight at Calvary Gospel Church, if you want to take and get your praise on, you can walk out of this building with life and you can have it more abundantly. But it's going to require something on your part. It's going to require some action on your part. It's here. It's free. You just got to take it. When we look at in the Old Testament, we looked this morning, we looked at a conflict between Saul and David and how Saul, the king of Israel, was so eaten up with jealousy and bitterness at the young David that everywhere he went, he sought to kill David. Saul, everywhere that he would go, the people would shout, Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. You see, David had slain the giant, and because he had slain the giant, he was taken, and the people looked at him as a national hero. He had gone from just a shepherd boy that very few people actually even knew existed all the way to where he was the most popular, most well-liked hero in all of the land. And Saul, being the king, bitterness problem and jealous towards David. But you see, Saul sought to kill him and David fleeing from his life. David always had a praise on his lips. He always had a song in his heart. You see, he understood that he was not going to take and leave God out of the picture. He was going to take and keep God in his life. He understood that the only way out of the mess that he was in was he was going to have to praise his way out. You see, David was a man full of praise. It's something that he developed as a young lad as he tended his father's sheep. We can read in Psalms 150, it says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Any of this ring a bell to you tonight? Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and the dance. And praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him among the high-sounding cymbals. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Let all of us, everything that hath breath, everything that is breathing, everything that is walking, praise ye the Lord. We spoke this morning of Paul and Silas, who were thrown in jail in Acts chapter 6, when at midnight, despite the situation they were in, they began to pray, and their prayer broke into praise, and their praise, when they began to praise God, all of heaven was moved by their praise, and all of hell was shaken by their praise. And the Bible says about midnight, an earthquake came and it began to rattle the place and the very shackles that they had on their feet. So here tonight, if you are bound up and you have all kinds of shackles and you do not understand that you're wrestling against not against your flesh and blood, but you're wrestling against principalities and you're wrestling against spiritual wickedness in high places. And although we walk in the flesh, we don't war against the flesh. Our weapons are not made of flesh, and we must understand that Satan hates it when we praise God. When we praise God, we bring down strongholds. When we praise God, we destroy the forces of evil. When we praise God, demons flee. The first half of John 10:10 tells us that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Satan tonight has tried to keep some of you captive. He's tried to keep some of you in a stronghold. He's tried to kill you. He's tried to steal from you. He's tried to destroy you. He's tried to take away your self-esteem. He's tried to take away your mind. He's tried to take away your health. He's tried to take everything he can take from you. He tries to intimidate us. He tries to oppress us and depress us and keep us bound with all of these lies. But Paul and Silas, as they were there in jail, they understood that praise was a powerful weapon that we have against Satan. And I say Satan, as I've said it many more other times, it is Satan with a small s. He doesn't deserve the big S. Satan hates it when we praise the one and only true God, the power, the God of the power, the God of majesty. We spoke of worship, and worship is who God is. Praise is what God has done. Thanksgiving is what God has done for you. How many of you tonight want to worship God for who God is? I want to praise God for what God has done, and I want to thank God for what he has done for me. And when you take praise and you take thanksgiving and you couple them together, it verbalizes faith. And if you thank God, as I said, you thank God after the fact, that's gratitude. But if you thank God before it happens, that's faith. And God is asking each and every one of us tonight to praise him in faith of what he is going to do. As the month progresses, we're going to build upon this a little upon little. But tonight, adding another element to this lesson, we read in the second book of Chronicles, chapter 20, verses 1 through 22. We're not going to read all of this, but I'm going to reference this. We find the story of a king named Jehoshaphat. King Jehoshaphat, he was a fourth king of Judah. Israel had a civil war, and it had split the nation, and there was the northern tribes and the southern tribes, and he was the fourth king of the southern tribes. And when he took the throne, he was somewhere around 35 years old, but he was a man who feared God. He was a man who worshiped God. He was a man who had a reverence for God. He had a praise for God, and everywhere he went, he wanted the people of Judah to understand who their God was. He sent the Levites and the priests all over the country teaching the people the ways of Jehovah God. But King Jehoshaphat, he had a big problem. You see, there was an enemy that was preparing to go to war against Judah. We have an enemy that is preparing and has prepared and has had thousands upon thousands of years to prepare a war to go against you and to go against me. And he is doing the very best that he can do to destroy us and tear us down. But we have a weapon. Oh, my brothers and sisters, we have a weapon that is far above any weapon that Satan can throw at us. And when the enemy comes against us, we need to start worshiping and we need to start praising God, because we can take and we can praise our way out. Perhaps you may feel that way tonight. You came into this place and you have more problems than a pickle has bumps. But I just want to try to tell you something, that even though everything under the sun may come against you, there's a way to cope with what the enemy has in store for you. If you've tried drugs and you've tried booze and you need deliverance tonight, you can praise your way out. You need a breakthrough in the Holy Ghost, you can praise your way out. You have problems in your checkbook, friend, you can praise your way out. If you need a healing tonight, if you're sick in your body, you can praise your way out. I want to challenge you, pastor. I love you, pastor. I want to see you healed. And if God will, I'm here to tell you, if he can't praise and run and jump, then I'll praise and I'll do it for him, because I want to see God do something in his life. It's not going to end this way. We can praise our way out of affliction. You have strongholds in your life. You have spirits that come against you. You can praise your way out. You have children that are lost and backslidden. Listen, stop worrying about your children. Let God worry about them. And you just start to praise God for who He is and what He is and what He can and will do. So King Jehoshaphat, he has this big problem. It's a major problem. You see, but when we look at King Jehoshaphat tonight, he didn't turn to the Lord after he had tried everything else like so many of us do. We take him to go to all kinds of classes and we try to take and figure out all these different ways that we can get around the Word of God and we can take and solve our problem without getting too spiritual, solve our problem without giving our lives over to God. But listen, Jehoshaphat, he was in a world of hurt. He understood what he had to do. The first thing he did when trouble came, he fell on his face and sought the Lord. Usually that's the last thing we want to do because we're afraid of what God might tell us to do. Hebrews 4 tells us that we need to come boldly before the throne of God. When we encounter a problem, when we encounter a problem in our lives, if we are a Christian, we can come boldly before the throne of God. Sometimes, as Christians, we have a very short memory. What did God do the last time you got yourself into a problem that you couldn't get out of? What did you do in your past to get out of the mess that you're in? You see, God did not save you, and He did not save me to leave us rotting in despair and dying along some roadside of life. But He came that we might have life, as John 10:10 says, and that we might have it more abundantly. That we can have life, and we can have life with a praise in our step. We can have life, and we can have life that is victorious. More abundantly. Not just abundantly, but more abundantly. Most abundantly, most it's abundantly, more than most it's abundantly. You get the point? Jehoshaphat knew he had a problem, and he knew that God was his answer. You know, he knew that he didn't have the strength nor the resources to get out of the mess that they were soon to be in. He knew the dire consequences of this battle. You see, he did not spend his time murmuring and complaining to God about the enemy. You don't read about Jehoshaphat going up and praying in his throne room and saying, God, I can't believe that you've forsaken us. I've done everything. I'm a good king. I'm a good Christian, Lord. I go to church. I pay my tithes. I've done everything I knew how to do. I've lived the life I knew how to live. God, I don't understand why all of the enemy keeps coming against me and I keep getting whooped down, beat down. And God just wants to say, get off your face. Get off up on your feet. Get your hands up in the heavens and start to praise me. He didn't spend his time murmuring and complaining. He did not go to God in prayer and start to complain. He exposed himself to God and he said, here I am. I have no power to overcome this situation. Too many times our sinful nature drives us to try to figure things out on our own. In case you're wondering tonight, that mess that you're in right now, I hate to tell you, my friend, but you're in there because you got in there all by yourself. It's nobody else's fault but you. So suck it up and learn and say, you know what? I got to do better next time. I get another shot at this. Right here tonight, I got a chance to be born again. I got a chance to repent of my sins. I got a chance to go down in the waters of baptism, and I can walk out of here a brand new man with brand new purpose and a brand new step. I can walk out of here instead of gloom and doom. I can walk out of here with praises on my lips. What did he do? He called out to God, and he called all the children of Judah together. You see, when he called out to God, it was his first choice. It was not his last resort. He called all of Judah together and asked the people. He said, listen, folks, we're going to go on a fast. We're in a dire need, and we're going to fall on our faces before the Almighty God, and we're going to take and we're going to fast. And all the people of Judah began to fast. One thing that we need to remember, as he called all of of Judah together, and he asked the people to fast. One thing we need to remember, that our victory does not depend upon our abilities. So many times we look at ourselves and we say, I don't have the ability to overcome the devil. I don't have the ability to overcome. You don't understand. I don't have the same ability that Pastor Thomas has. Or I don't have the same ability that Brother Dave Hobb has. I don't have the same ability that Sister Darlene Burrell has. You have to understand that our victory does not depend upon our abilities. And it's really not our responsibility. Our victory, our abilities are simply our response to God's abilities, because in my own I have no abilities. I can't overcome the devil on my own, but when I couple up with my God, when he couples up with me and we work together in unity as the children of Judah did when they fell on their faces, they begin to fast, they begin to pray, and they were all in unity all the way from the little children that sucked the mother's breast all the way up to the grandparents that they had to wheel there in all kinds of wheelchairs and crutches. They were all there, and they were all in unity. You see, what happens when a church body joins together in unity? I'm excited about this month. Pastor Carl, our youth pastor, was talking to me, and he was talking about how that he had felt that this month in the youth services, he needed to preach on praise and worship. And I told him, he didn't know what my notes were, and I said, take a look at the notes to the message on Sunday morning and Sunday night and our theme for the month. And then we also heard Brother Russell shared with me that Brother Seidel today in Voices Unidas preached a message on praise and worship. Listen, God is desiring to move us. God is desiring to move us forward, and he wants us to move forward in victory. He wants us to move forward out in the battlefield, and when we march against the enemy, we may not have the abilities on our own. We may not have everything we need when we go into battle, but we have God on our side, and we have a praise on our lips. We have some joy and dance in our step, and when we go out to fight the enemy, we don't have to take and fight him in a handicapped position, because we got God. Before the battle even begins, Jehoshaphat began to offer praises to God. He began to thank God for who God was. He began to worship God. He began to praise his name. And I could see as he began to reflect back and said, bring me some of the old scribes. Bring me some of the old scrolls. I want to look up my predecessor, young David, and I want to take and read. He was a man of praise. He was a man that worshiped God. And I can see Jehoshaphat as he began to page through, and he says, and my tongue shall declare your righteousness, O God, and your praises all day long. You, O God, will put a new song in my heart, a song of praise and trust unto you, our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. O God, my soul is in despair. I have become disturbed within me. The enemy is camped round about us, yet my hope is in you, Almighty God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. I will sing praises unto God. I will sing praises to my King. I will sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. And God, whose word I will praise. In God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What mere man can do to me. All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to your name. So many times we want to go into battle and we want to get there and we want to fight without as much as a thought of worship, our worship for God and our blessings and our victories that he will bring. There's simply nothing more important than worship in preparing for battle's problems. God is ready to move you in on behalf. He's ready to move on your behalf in victory, but he will not do one solitary thing. He will not lift one solitary finger. In fact, he will sit on the sidelines and watch you struggle all by yourself until you begin to pray, until you begin to pray, and your praise breaks out into praise, and your praise breaks out into worship. And when your prayer becomes praise and your praise becomes worship, then God gets excited and he starts moving. The brother or sister who kneels before God can stand before any problem. So many times we go down in defeat because we simply do not praise him. I love this song, and we're going to sing this at altar call. Don't wait till the battle is over. Don't wait till the victory is won. Don't wait till it's already done. So don't wait. Don't wait. Don't wait. Stand up and start to praise God and shout now. When we pray, when we praise, and when we begin to worship God, Satan becomes confused. You see, the fastest way to mess up Satan is just start praising the name of God. Just start praising the name of the Lord. Just start praising. And when we begin to praise God, Satan becomes confused. He becomes frustrated. He can't stand it when we praise God. Praise is what infuses us with that spiritual energy. Praise is what gives us that anointing from the Holy Ghost when we begin to praise God. Run it on, Brother Paris. Run it on. Get your praise on. Yeah. You don't have to wait till altar call to get your praise on. You don't have to wait till the end of the service to get your praise on. You can get it on, honey, right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hata moshonda lo tara mohashata. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. You see, church, you have to understand something. When we begin to praise God, we attack our problems not from our way, but we attack our problems from God's way. When we lift up our hands and we begin to worship the Almighty God, we begin to worship and we begin to praise God, and God goes on the offense. He goes on our behalf, and we begin to praise and we begin to worship, and He swings His army into battle. And when His army goes into battle, there is nothing, no force on heaven, no force in hell, nothing can stand in the way of the Almighty God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's just have our musicians come right now. I don't have to finish this. I got all month. Listen, God wants to do something tonight. Listen, I don't care what kind of problem you got. I don't care what kind of mess you're in. I don't care. I don't care about your past. I care about your future. And the way to change your future is to take and change your past. You can change your past by getting into the present. And you got to take and you got to start praising God. Put your hands in the air. Lift your hands. If you need to take a run, take a run. If you need to jump, you go ahead and start jumping. You just start praising God and see what God can do. You don't have to wait till your battle is over. You don't have to wait till your victory is won. You don't have to wait until it's already done. You don't have to. God has promised that He is going to do exactly what He said He would do. He said, if you lift your hands and you begin to worship Me, and you lift your hands and you begin to praise, and it's Jehoshaphat, got his armies together. They didn't put on the sword. They didn't get their shields. They put on a garment of praise. And they put on a garment of praise. And they went out to fight the enemy. And they began to worship. And they began to praise God. And as they worship and as they praise God, an anointing came over that battlefield. And the power of God, the power of all heaven, began to become unloosed on that battlefield. And as they began to pray, and as they began to worship God, the enemy fell into confusion. They didn't know what to do with the anointing power of the Holy Ghost on the battlefield. And that's the same way in our lives. When you fall, when the enemy comes at you, and you begin to pray. Let's go, Brother Phil.
Promise.
It's already done.
So don't wait.
Don't wait.
Don't wait.